We're in Matthew chapter 25 and going through the red letters and looking at the words of Christ. And we are getting close to the end. There's only 28 chapters. We're wrapping up chapter 25. So we're almost getting close to the end. And as Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem, right, towards the cross, the question came in about end times. When are all these things going to be accomplished? And we spend the last couple of weeks looking at what the Lord has taught through parables of what's going to happen at the end. And so this morning, we're going to pick this up. We're going to start at verse 31 and finish off the chapter. And I'm going to go ahead and read the whole thing, and then we'll go back and reflect on it. And it's really powerful as we look at this. We start breaking this apart. The Lord is coming back, and there is going to be a judgment. And if you believe that, that has to impact you. There is a type of accountability. There is a responsibility that we all have before our Maker, our Creator. And we dare not just live this life on automatic, thinking this is all going to just continue on like it always has. There is going to be an end. We need to live our lives that way. So I'm going to go ahead and, like I said, go read through this passage, and then we'll go back and touch on some of the points out of it. It says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all His holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. And I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer them, saying, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say also to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick or in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then they will answer him, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away in everlasting punishment, but righteous unto eternal life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you for understanding as we look at these scriptures, Lord. Allow your Spirit to be our teacher this morning. We ask this in your name. Amen. Come to the parable of the sheep and the goats. And it's powerful because of the punctuation we add at this, right? At the end of this, notice what it says here. And these will go into everlasting punishment. The wicked will go into an eternal place, not prepared for us, but prepared for the devil and his angels. The book of Revelation calls this the lake of fire. Actually, Jesus talks about hell more than any other writer in the Bible. And there is a reality of a place called hell. But also there's a reality of a place called heaven, right? And the righteous go on to there for eternal life. The Bible's clear, right? If we look at this parable, that there is a judgment that is coming. God is a righteous judge. But because He is righteous, He has to judge sin. He has to. Right? The wages of sin is death. And you guys understand what wages are. Right? You work all week, and at the end of the week, or whatever your pay period is, you expect to get paid, right? You get paid for what you got earned. You ever get a paycheck messed up on you? Right? Yeah, I had one boss that was really bad at. You know, I put in my hours, and I get my check, and I'd be like, oh. All right, so, you know, and it always worked. He never gave me more. You know, I always got less. He missed some hours. I don't know what the issue was. And so I go into the office and say, hey, wait a minute, right? I worked for this. Give me what I've earned, right? And if the boss would have said, no, I'm not going to give you what, you know, this is why I'm paying you tough luck. I'd be like, hey, wait, that's not fair. That's not right. I worked for it. I've earned it. Give me what I've worked for. And the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Is death. Because of our sin, we are separated from God. And God is the righteous judge who has to give us what we were deserving. And that's where Jesus came. And this morning we illustrated that in communion. That Jesus came and he took the penalty. And through based on then, that Jesus took the requirement for me. Back, remember when you used to carry checks around? Oh yeah, right? I can't even think of the last time I actually wrote a check. But back in the day, that's how old I am. Right? You know, paying with your phone? I mean, I still, that kind of freaks me out. I went through Dunkin' Donuts and the lady in front of me was waving her phone around. And, you know, paying with her phone. I'm like, I don't know. But I remember paying checks, and so I used to use it as an illustration. I'd take a check and cross out the numbers on it and stuff. And I'd use that as a track. I'd say, you know, the Bible says, you know, I'd put the person's name on the check and say, okay, right? And the wages of what you've earned is the dollar amount, right? And the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Is death. But praise the Lord that the gift of God is eternal life. That check that you've earned, Jesus would cross out your name and put his. And he took the penalty for your sins. Right? It's a great little way to use a check as a witnessing tool. It doesn't work so much with a credit card. But there is a judgment that is coming. The Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That in here, there is a judgment. The Lord is going to come. And there's only two choices. Notice what he said here. He brought him in and he separated the sheep from the goats, right? You know? Contrary to what you may hear, a sheep cannot become a goat. It cannot identify as a goat. A sheep is a sheep and a goat is a goat. There's a distinction between the two. We don't have a middle ground. When it comes to our souls, either you are saved or you're not saved. Either you've accepted Christ as your Savior or you have not. There is no middle ground. And so when that judgment time comes, right, that will be your standing. It's an appointed man, on a man wants to die, then after this is a judgment. This idea of a second chance after death or purgatory or a resting place, or maybe afterwards, you know, I didn't accept Christ now, but I'll do that later. No, I'm here to warn you, according to the Word of God, on the authority of His Word. Look, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to accept Him. Because there will be no other chance. We have this lifetime. And some people are so distracted with other things, I'll do it later, I'll do it later. You know, as the older I get, the more I realize I don't know how many laters I have. I don't know how much laters you have. Don't put it off. Because throughout this, right, we looked at chapter 24 and 25, the resounding theme throughout this teaching of Jesus is that judgment is going to come. And there's only two choices. Either you've accepted Christ, or you have not. And I implore you, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, today can be that day. And it's a simple fact that believe that Jesus is God. That Jesus is God who came and died upon the cross, was buried and rose again 3 days later. That he died to pay for your sins and mine. The Bible says the wages of your sin is death. And your sin separates you from him. But through the cross, he sacrificed. If you accept that forgiveness of sins and live for him, the Bible says you have the right to be called the sons of God. That's salvation. And now because you're saved, it has an impact on your life. It changes everything. And so we see this idea of the sheep and the goats. And anyway, he goes on and starts explaining that, look, What did you do? What did you do? He talked to the one group, right? And he said, look, I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. You did all these things. And the other group, he looked at it and he said, you didn't do these things. The Bible says that we will have to give an account for every idle word that we say. The book of Revelation says the books are open and they will be judged according to things that are written in the book. Our lives will be flashed before us, as the old saying goes. What will you see? Jesus had warned earlier, talking about false teachers, says you'll know them by their fruits. Says, do men gather grapes from a thorn bush or figs from a thistle? Even so, good trees bear good fruit, but bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. And what Jesus is saying here, right? I don't do good works to earn my way to heaven. Because we can never be good enough. But that's what it's about. But because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, it impacts me. It impacts everything I do. And there should be evidence. And Jesus uses the illustration of fruit. What are the fruits in your life? Right? Think of it this way. It's that time of year. Apples are starting to come out. Right? Have you ever been to an apple orchard? I love to go to the apple orchard. And we used to go live by one. And we'd go down through there and make it a day. And pick the apples off the tree. Now, all those apple trees, right? They grew apples because they were apple trees. Right? The tree determined the fruit. The fruit didn't determine the tree, which came first, chicken or egg kind of thing, right? But because they're apple trees, they produced apples. As Christians, we produce godly fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. These are things He produces in us, right? We're not saved by our good works. But our good works are evidence that we've been saved. Does that make sense? Because there's some people who are trying to be good enough for God, right? But the Bible says all our righteousness are as filthy rags. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I'm thankful that He paid the price. He is good enough. But because of that, that has an impact on my life. I cannot say I'm a Christian and not live like it. The book of James talks about that. So we're not telling you to be good to get your way to heaven. The Bible says, for by grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a what? Is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. Salvation is a free gift to all. If you try to earn it, it is no longer a gift. Right? And He offers that free gift to all who are willing to receive Him. But because of this, it impacts us, right? The book of Hebrews says, but beloved, be confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. Right? If you are a Christian, it impacts all that you do and say. It should change you from the tip of your toes to the top of your head. It should change your desires, your actions, your reactions. As we surrender our lives to the Lord, and He takes control, and He changes us. And it's a process that's worked out. Right? He changes us. Sometimes little by little. But He's working on us. And we should be able to look in our lives and we should see a transformation in our lives. That I'm not what I'm going to be, right? I'm not perfect, but I'm not what I used to be. Right? I'm not who I used to be. How many of you guys remember singing that little song in Sunday school? He's still working on me. to make me what I ought to be. You guys know it, right? Took him just a week to make the moon and stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. What? He's still working on me. He's producing in me what I need to be. But there should be an evidence. There should be an evidence that this world is not my home. There should be an evidence in my life that I'm looking for something else. My desires aren't the same. Show in the scripture. Don't be surprised that the people you used to hang out with are looking at you now and saying, hey, how come you're not doing what you used to do anymore? Because I found Jesus. Jesus told his disciples, he says, by this you will all know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And one of the qualities that should be brought into our lives is this love, because God is love and he loves us. And because I'm loved, we should be showing his love to those around us. You know, and I think often as Christians, we fail on this front. Because right now, we're living in a world that is running on fear and hate and division. And we are going into our own corners and we're throwing the mud and we're throwing the rocks and we're, right? We're just like them, except we might have a different cause. Folks, they won't know we're Christians because of our arguments and our attitudes. They'll know us by our love. And Lord, as he works in me to produce in that, Lord, helping me to love the unlovelies, there it's going to say there's something different about you. And that's Jesus. It says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. There's so many verses that talk about this in our lives. That in there should be fruit. And in that final judgment, they were judged according to what they did. Right? Was there evidence that Jesus was their Lord? Was there evidence that they loved Jesus? Because the warning goes out, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. How sad will it be? We have the sheep and the goats, right? And in here it says, look, I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. And they're like, Lord, we didn't even know about this. Right? When did we see this? They didn't even know. We need to realize that in this world, we need to let our light so shine before men. The Bible warns us, right? Now think about this. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If someone were to spend a few minutes going through your Facebook page, what would they come away thinking about you? Would they accuse you of being a Christian? Years ago, I remember I was in high school. And something was going on. I can't remember what it was. My senior year, I went to a Christian school. And I kept all that kind of on the lowdown. You know, I wanted to be cool and I wanted to be hip. I really didn't pull that off, but I tried. And tried to, you know, blend in with everyone. And working at McDonald's and it wasn't always the best environment. You know, I'd tell my parents I was closing and not work, and we'd go partying or doing a bunch of things that I wasn't supposed to do. And something came up, and I needed a day off. I was scheduled to work, and I remember going into my boss and I said, look, I need this day off because the school was doing something. And so in there, I was telling, you know, okay, I need this off, I need this. And the person behind me was standing there just kind of eavesdropping. And I said, I need this off because of the Christian school. It was a Christian service. We had a Christian service that we had to do as part of graduation requirement. And it was going on a Saturday. So I need this off to do my Christian service. And the girl behind me was like, I didn't know you go into church. I was like, oh, right? And that just hurt. And I knew I was kind of covering it up. I knew I didn't broadcast it. I know I wasn't living. I was doing what they were. But it didn't really impact me for someone to look at my life and say, you know what? I didn't even know you were a Christian. Because if this is truly the most important thing in my life, shouldn't everyone know it? You know? Just beforehand, we're doing announcements. We talk about Natalie's little grandchild. And I said, you want to see a picture? I'm sure Natalie has some pictures on her phone. And her, you know, she probably went through all her memory on her phone. Just, you know. So prepare. You go to say, can I see some pictures? And she's going to show you, you know, clear the next hour. And she'll show you all these little pictures. Why? Because that's an important thing, and you want everyone to know. Right? How much more so should our relationship with Jesus Christ be? And you will be examined by your fruit. The last thing I want to look at, I found it interesting because not only do we have this, the sheep and the goats show us that judgment is coming, not only does it show that, look, we'll be examined by our fruit, by what we do, or what we don't do. But the last one, Christ has a connection with his children. We look at the end of this, and he says, look, when did we do these things, right? To the righteous, he turned around and said, look, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you a drink, right? When were you in prison and we visited you? Lord, we didn't see you. When is these things? And Jesus said, if you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. That through here, as we minister together as the body of Christ, as I serve you and you serve me, I'm serving Jesus. Because you are together with him. We see this when Saul, who later on becomes Paul, right? He's persecuting the Christians. In Acts chapter 9, it says, and he fell on the ground. The Lord appeared to Saul, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting, what, me? And he says, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And it's hard for you to kick against the goats. Paul was like, wait a minute, no, I was going killing Christians. And Jesus says, no, you were after me. And in a way, I find comfort this in my life. Because we live in a world where we're being persecuted today for your faith, right? You're being ostracized. Some of you have been disowned by family members, right? Some of you, because of your convictions and staying for the Lord, you can lose your jobs. I mean, we're living in a crazy world. If what's taking place in Europe, I mean, I don't know if you saw this, in I think it was England, that people are being arrested for silently praying outside of abortion clinics. For praying in their head. Being arrested. You say, well, that could never happen here. I wouldn't be surprised. But you know what? If I'm persecuted for the cause of Christ, the Bible says, blessed are you. Jesus is with you. Right? Now, don't be confused, because if I'm persecuted because I'm being an idiot, there's no glory in that. Right? You know, oh, they don't like me because, you know, I'm a Christian. No, we don't like you because, John, you're an idiot sometimes. Right? So don't be an idiot. But if I'm persecuted for Jesus and my stance for standing on the word, then so be it. And Jesus connects with you. And I find comfort in that. Because all these things, we are not going through it alone. Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And those who are doing the persecuting will give an account to God. But also, I think there's a challenge here within the body of Christ that we are called to minister to one another. It's really been just impacted on me on the church side. I said, you know, church is a place to belong. We are the body of Christ, a called out assembly. Right? We shouldn't suffer with loneliness. We shouldn't suffer with despair, because we should have a church family who's around us, praying for us, encouraging us, who's visiting us, who's strengthening us. That's the body of Christ. And somehow we've gotten in our head that this Christianity thing is a personal thing, that I do it in the privacy of my own home. No. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. It's great that we can get together in fellowship, in the potlucks, in the baptism services, and we can get together. It's also important for us to stop and pause and pray for one another. Because while I'm praying for your hurt, I'm involved in that too. And I'm ministering to Jesus as I do that. We are all brought into Him, into His body. And so the challenge goes out, therefore, as we have opportunity, Book of Galatians says, let us do good to all, and especially to those of the household of faith. Folks, judgment is coming. There is a day when those will have to give an account and stand before God. And it's a binary choice. Either you accepted Christ or you have not. And I pray today all of you have made that decision for Him. And in here, it's us living out the Christian life. It's us living that out. Lord, help me to live that out. Help me show kindness to those, especially to those of the church. And folks, I'm convinced going ahead that as this world gets darker, we're going to need each other more and more. And it may not just be emotional support. I remember when COVID came down, and there were people who said, look, because of my convictions, I can't take this shot. Because of my convictions, I can't do this thing. And I said, there's going to be a day where some of you may lose your jobs because of that. And as a church, we need to come alongside of you and encourage you as that day comes. You can see that all these are all kind of blown over. Folks, I believe that darker days are coming, and we are going to need each other more and more. That we will be the only sanity check we have in the world, right? The news is going to be against us. The media is going to be against us. The politicians will be against us. Everything will be opposed to us. And folks, we will need each other. I pray that we're there for each other. And Jesus says, you do it unto the least of my brethren. You've done it unto me. You know, how many times have I told you guys, you know, I am the least talented person in this group. You know, I can eat and I can talk. Right? I have the gifts of a 5-year-old. That's it. And I mean this with all my heart. If God can love me, He can love you. Because I'm not an easy man to love. If God can use me. I mean, I grew up in a poor family. You know, my family wasn't known, had no prestige. We didn't have a lot. We moved so much. I growing up, I didn't even have friends. Church was my friends. Church was my family. And Jesus says, you've done it to the least of my children. You've done it unto me. Oh, we are so loved. Pray we minister to one another. Reach out to one another. Encourage one another as we see that day approaching. That I know, I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Right? I want to stand before the Lord and He says, you know what? You did all these things to me. Well, Lord, when did I do this to you? Lord, you know what? When you visited me. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you brought a meal to someone? When was the last time you brought a drink to someone? When was the last time you visited someone in the hospital? Well, that's the pastor's job. No, it's not the pastor's job. You're the church. When's the last time you went to jail to visit someone? To the least of them, you've done it unto Jesus. Right? I mean, if we knew Jesus was in the hospital, would we have gone and seen him? Oh, yeah. Well, guess what? Jesus is there. Have you visited? Have you called? Have you written a letter? Have you written a note? And Jesus says, you know what? Every time you did that, you did it to me. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the encouragement that we have in it. Lord, help us to live a life out loud for you. Lord, through kindness and through loving, minister your grace to those around us, Lord. We pray for the church, whether it's this local assembly or those who are gathering even right now across the globe. Lord, I pray for your church to be ministered to be lifted up, all for your name's sake. Lord, make us servants to one another. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. Oh, we stand and